This morning we studied about David when he was in the cave and the great trouble he was going through and how he felt like no one cared for his soul. And this evening I want us to look at a psalm that David writes after he had gone through a difficult time. Now we cannot be for sure which time it was that David is referring to, and of course in the life of David there could be several of those. Some scholars think that it is when he had numbered the people in 2 Samuel 24 and God brought a punishment upon him because of his arrogance, because of his pride in the numbering, and he offered up to him three punishments. David, you remember, could choose to have 3 years of famine, 3 months of being pursued by his enemies, or 3 days of pestilence brought on by the Lord. And David said, I would rather fall into the hands of the Lord than my enemies. And so he took the 3 days of pestilence. And the Lord struck Israel. And there was a plague that killed 70,000 Israelites. You might remember David goes and the death angel is striking the children of Israel. And David goes and he buys a threshing field, an altar he makes there. And he stops this pestilence by offering a sacrifice. And it could be that this psalm is written after that. We're just not for sure. It seems that way because this psalm refers to David having begun to trust in his wealth. You remember this morning we talked about how David felt like no one cared for him and he felt all alone. Well, now as he has prospered, he's been blessed, he's become the king of the nation, and he's going to number the children of Israel to take pride in that. It may be that he's taking his confidence from his wealth. And he refers to that in this psalm, that he's taken pride in what he's done. And so it's possible that David has in mind that terrible episode of numbering the people and the punishment that God brought upon him. I hope that you have your Bibles to Psalm chapter 30. And we're going to read that psalm this evening and notice the points from our lesson about this and observe some things of how we deal with coming through trouble. And so after the storm has passed, first place, there should be a restoration in verses 1 through 3. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. He begins by giving God praise for his salvation, and he mentions salvation in this passage. The idea that God has lifted him up, that his foes have not rejoiced over him. He says, O Lord my God, I cried unto you. And he has healed him or saved him. And he says, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. And this is parallel with the second line. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The term pit or grave in the Old Testament refers to death and to the mysterious idea of the afterlife, to Sheol and what all went on, the thought of us going down to the grave. And so David is saying, you didn't let me die. He could have died, and he seems, as we're going to notice throughout the psalm, it seems that he felt like he was very near death, and the Lord might have brought death upon him. But for whatever reason, God does not. God spares him, and he's grateful that he has been spared, that he has come close to death. Also, the term pit in the Psalms is kind of like the way we use it. You know, sometimes you just might say, I'm in the pits. I'm just, life's not good. Well, it can kind of have that idea in the Psalms, kind of like we were talking about this morning, being in the cave, being discouraged and depressed. He was in the pits. And he praises God because of his restoration, because he had saved him, because he brought him up. I'm mindful of Psalm 23, verse 3, he restored his soul. But then look at verses 4 and 5. you notice the response that David has, the response that David has to the Lord's restoration. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Because of the Lord's restoration, David responds with gratitude. His response to the Lord's salvation was, "Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done." He praises the Lord, and he invites other saints. This term saint refers to the faithful, the godly, the righteous. He invites them to join him in the praise of God. Let me ask and pause there for a moment. And when we've gone through hard times, we've gone through a problem, maybe we've experienced some trials in our own life, and maybe they've even been of a public nature, and we've besought prayer, and maybe we've been on the church prayer list or things like that. It's also appropriate that when we have come through that, and maybe we've received some good news, to also invite others to praise God with us. Just like we want others to pray for us when we're going through the hard times, David says, now that I've come through them, now that I've been saved, I invite everybody else, the righteous, the saints, to praise God for my deliverance. And so we can respond by rejoicing with those who rejoice, by realizing that one Christian's victory is our victory. And then when someone has their prayers answered, that we can rejoice with them in that. And so we need to celebrate and call for others to offer thanks too. Notice David says too that we sing praise to the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Notice the thought here is that our praise and our thanksgiving needs to be to God. He is the author and giver of life, James 1:17. And His favor is for a lifetime. He's merciful and grateful. We should count our blessings. And we need to thank God for what He's given us. And so as we think about this psalm, I'm mindful of a New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, where the Bible says, "Therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." You know, we have reason to thank God every day. And I know many of you do that on a daily basis, and you're grateful for all that the Lord has given you. But sometimes you go through a hard time. You go through a cave-like experience like we talked about this morning. And when you come out of that, make sure that you give God adequate praise and thanksgiving as a response to His deliverance. You see, He says our praise is like the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips. And David says back in Psalm verse 30 that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. The next thing in verses 6 through 7 is there is a realization. A realization. Notice what the Bible says. "Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. In my prosperity, I said, I should never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled." Remember, I said that David apparently was struggling with pride and being lifted up and taking confidence in what he had. And so in this passage, David refers to this idea. He said when he was prospering, when things were going well, he said, "I shall never be moved." You can look at this a couple different ways. You can think that maybe he's saying in his own wealth that I've got all these things and I'm not going to lose it. And he's taking his hope and his faith in what he has. You can also look at it as when he's saying that I should never be moved, as he's saying that I have all these things and I have faith in God and I'm not going to ever doubt or struggle again. But in either case, however you want to look at him saying I should never be moved, David is realizing that his attitude was wrong. That he had taken his faith, he had taken his hope in himself, and he said, you know, I shall never be moved. And he forgot that the Lord had made his mountain to stand strong. That all his blessings had come from the Lord. And just as that the Lord had given, the Lord could take away. And it says in the next verse, at the end of verse 7, that the Lord hid his face. And he was dismayed, or he was troubled. You know, David was a man of great wealth. But like Sturgeon says in his commentary, no temptation is so bad as tranquility. Now, I think we all need some peace and tranquility, but what Sturgeon is saying there is when we start resting on our own successes, when we start just sitting back thinking, I'll never be moved, I don't need to grow, I don't need to serve, I've arrived, and we take hope in our prosperity, that's when the Lord will hide his face from us. David was humbled when the Lord hid his face. He was dismayed. The Hebrew word here is a very intense word. It involves the idea that David was alarmed, he was afraid, and he was terrified. When it says, I was troubled, I was dismayed, he was alarmed. It's like life was going along good, and all of a sudden something happened, and he realized that he wasn't where he thought he was with the Lord. You know, y'all have all heard the story about the old couple riding in their truck, and she's talking about how, you know, they don't sit close together anymore, and he looks over and says, well, who moved? You know, and she had slid over to the passenger seat, and she wasn't sitting right there beside him anymore. Well, lots of times we're like that with God, aren't we? Like that with God. We kind of slip away. And we don't realize it. The years go by, we don't realize it. And God says to David, who moved? Who moved? He hid his face from him. And David was alarmed. He was terrified. It was this realization that he came to. You know, we all need to realize our need for God. We need to do some reflecting when we come through the trouble, realizing our true position before God. But then, verses 8 through 10, David makes a request then. He makes a request. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? So he's referring back to this incident when it happened, and he said, you know, I reasoned with you and I requested, I made a supplication, a request. What profit is there in my death, in my blood? He asked three rhetorical questions here. When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? And obviously in each case, the answer is no. There's no profit in his blood. And if he goes down to the pit, the dust will not praise him, and will it declare your truth? It will not. The idea is, David is saying kind of harshly, Lord, if I die, then I won't be able to praise you. I won't be able to praise you. You see, it may seem like he's bargaining with God, but it seems the idea is that David is saying, I'm committed to praising you all of my days. And let me live and I will give you glory. Let my story be a praise to you. It's like David is saying, when I was going through this, I requested, Lord, if you'll just let me come through this, I promise that I will praise you. Now think about how many people's stories give praise to God. That what they have come through, who they are, their life story is a praise to God. You know, this should be our aim in life, to praise His name. You know, sometimes we want to think about what's the purpose in life, and ultimately the greatest purpose in life is to glorify God. The Psalms speak of this in Psalm 29:2, Psalm 100, 3-4. But in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul will refer to this idea when he says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know, the real question for us as we think about this request is, does my life, does your life, whatever days we have left, are we going to be a living testimony? Are our words and our life going to be a praise to God? Are they going to be a praise to God? We can think about some of the Old Testament kings. I think about Manasseh, for example, who God, you know, bless them, and sometimes we'll see that they'll be doing good and God will bless them, and then sometimes He will answer their prayers. And in Manasseh's life, for example, He gave him, I believe, 15 more years. But it was during that time that he turned away from God. And you think about some people's lives. Some people, they come through a hard time. They come through maybe even a health scare, or surviving cancer or something like that. What do they do with it? What do they do with the time they have? Do they use those years as a praise to God? Do they use those years as a praise to God? And you and I should all see our life with the purpose of giving God glory. He says, David says here, that's what he's going to do with his life. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, you know, Paul would speak of that same idea. Whether he's alive or dead, his goal is going to be to magnify Christ. To magnify Christ. And then the last thing is verse 11 and 12. And you have rejoicing. Notice, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put on my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So he ends this psalm in talking about the trouble he's come through. And he says, God, you have turned my doom, my darkness, into gladness. My sobbing into dancing. David speaks about what he's going to do with that. He says that I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you forever. You know, we talk about heaven being a place of praise. You think about how we will be able in heaven to praise God and tell Jesus how grateful we are that He died for us forever. And to go on and on, we'll always be able to tell God, thank you. Thank you. When we think about rejoicing, we think about how we ultimately, when we come through trials and hardships, that God can bring us with this inner peace and joy. I think about Paul in the book of Philippians once again. He talked in chapter 1 about how he was going to magnify Christ. He was going to give glory to Christ whether he's alive or whether he's dead. And of course, Paul's in prison. But the overall theme of that book, that 4-chapter book of Philippians, it's joy. Rejoice always, and again I say, rejoice. Paul is always emphasizing the need for joy. And here David says, I've come through this, and I'm not going to live in the misery of the past. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be thankful for what God has done. You see, you will not forget the hard times, but we should move on in joy. When you think about what this psalm is emphasizing, it seems to me that that the idea that David is saying is that we need to have hope-filled praise. Is that we should have hope when we're going through trouble, and that when we come through trouble, that we have hope that God has delivered us. And we have all this hope and thanksgiving, and that should move us to praise. Should move us to glorifying His name. Several years back, there was a song that was out that kind of captured this idea. It was called Bring the Rain. And it captures this idea of praising God and whatever, allowing whatever happens and troubles that happen in our life to still be a way that we glorify God, that we give God the praise. I want to read the lyrics in conclusion tonight. He says, I could count a million times people ask me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. And he says, the question just amazes me. Can circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Maybe since my life was changed long before these rainy days, it's never really ever crossed my mind to turn my back on you, O Lord. For you are my only shelter from the storms, but instead I draw closer through these times. So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free, bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, then Jesus, bring the rain. For I am yours regardless of the dark clouds that may loom above, because you are much greater than my pain. You who made a way for me by suffering your destiny. So tell me, what's a little rain? So I pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I think that's in many ways, a contemporary wording of the same message that David is trying to say in his psalm. That no matter what trouble he has gone through, he's going to give God glory. No matter what he's come through, even though he has had mourning, he can find joy. He can find joy. And so he prays. He extols, he praises, and he rejoices. This evening, if you're not a child of God, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, we're going to sing a hymn to encourage you. If we can help you in any way, come us together. We stand and sing.